Taped from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out over Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Germain Patterson.
Ooh, Germain.
Yeah, look at me. Look at me switching it up.
Mixing it up.
Yeah, that's right. Putting my government out there.
Wow.
As people say.
Okay, everyone who is now listening in the hopes of stealing Darren Patterson's identity.
Oh, wait.
You are now one step closer.
Son of a bee.
Now one step closer. We will also be giving out random numbers from his Social Security throughout the show. So keep listening.
I did not think this through.
But this week we are going to be talking about the episode from February 16th, 2019, Don Cheadle hosting, Gary Clark musical guesting, season 44, episode 13.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Gary Clark Jr.
Yo, did I not say Jr.?
No, no, you said Gary Clark.
I was Gary like, Clark Jr.
Who's Gary Clark schmo? We're talking about Gary Clark Jr.
Okay. I stand corrected.
Okay.
Well.
Stand down. Stand down.
Darren, coming in hot.
I know. I'm like a wrecking
ball. It's Gary Clark Jr., you bastard.
I come in like a wrecking ball. Wreck me.
But how are you doing? Are you good?
I'm doing all right. You know, living a life, chasing a dream. You know, just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Quoting the Simon and Garfunkel.
I listen to a lot of music, yes.
Okay, yeah. That's
yeah, how have you
that's
been?
That's cool. I've been doing okay. I had a week.
Yes, you did.
I told Darren about it off air. I can't talk about it on air.
Oh, my God. It is. It was, to say it was a doozy is is an understatement.
Yes, yes. And, Jason, you know what I'm talking about. But everybody else, no idea.
Nope, sorry. Can't do it.
But, Jason, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Holy moly. Ay, ay, chihuahua. Yeah, it was something else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the podcast equivalent of vague booking.
Absolutely. So. All right.
But anyway, what do we think of this show? Did you like this show? Okay. that answers that question.
I guess I answered it, yeah. I had high hopes for it because
Don Cheadle.
Cheadle rocks.
We enjoy the Don Cheadle.
John Cheadle rocks, if we've chanted many a time, and yes. Gary Clark Jr. I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this episode, it was off. It was like, I don't know. I mean, John Cheadle seemed game for everything. He wasn't the issue. It was just... I guess just the writing, I don't know.
I didn't feel like it was all it could have been. But yes. let's unpack it. Let's dive in.
Let's dive in.
Let's dive in. Let's go deep.
Easy, fella.
Figuratively.
Okay.
Figuratively.
Okay. Take right. it
so,
easy, pal.
So starting out with a cold open, we had Mr. Alec Baldwin as President Donald Trump. Oh, it hurts that to say that. Trump this week, he declared a national emergency to get his wall.
So he could has wall.
So he can has wall.
Yes, wall is good, wall works.
And he gave a press conference about it. I think it was like Tuesday, Thursday. I don't know. The whole week was a blur for me.
This whole timeline we're in just melded into one garbage day. So
all just a never-ending dumpster fire.
Yeah, time is relative.
I mean, I look forward to like this hour of my week, and that's about it.
This is the bright sunshine spot of our lives. And yours.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Yes. But so we had Alec Baldwin as Trump basically doing his version of the insane speech that Trump gave. And judging from the clips I've seen, it was only mildly exaggerated.
Very mildly. There's one part where Alec Baldwin called the southern border the brown line, of course, which, of course, people have told him not to say. And then
Has he literally said that?
No. He hasn't literally. It's not surprising he might have, but Alec Baldwin, I think, said it, not the actual...
Right. That's what's so tough about this president is you say something insane that he would have said, and it's totally plausible.
Satire and reality are as one.
That's part of what makes him so exhausting. But
we're through the looking glass, people.
He did, at one point, he did describe what I thought was a very plausible way for the Trump presidency to end, which is... like he does this, he gets sued, it goes to the Supreme Court, he calls in a favor from Kavanaugh goes new phone who dis, the Mueller report is released, it crumbles my house of cards, I plead insanity, I go to the puzzle factory, and my personal hell of being president will finally be over. I heard that and I was like, yeah, that's it, that sounds plausible. I could see that happening.
I could
that Yeah. I could 100% see that happening.
I could connect those dots. Yeah. Sure. That sounds like it's about it. Yeah, and I don't know. Did it sound like to you like maybe Alec Baldwin had a cold or something? His voice sounded not off.
I honestly didn't notice that now.
Something sounded off. Maybe it's the volume or something sounded a little off to me. I don't know. Maybe it was just me.
Let's be real. It's never been the greatest Trump impression in the world.
Yeah, it's not more. It's more of a character, like a characteristic. Not characteristic, but like
caricature?
Characterization.
Yeah.
That the right word?
Sure.
Characterization, not like a full-on impression. Mm-hmm. Like Daryl Hammond did a full-on impression. But
yes. Does. Yeah, Daryl Hammond was he's a much more technically accurate impressionist. Right. I remember reading an interview with Daryl Hammond where he was talking about doing Sean Connery on Jeopardy.
Right.
I think this was an oral history of the Celebrity Jeopardy segment on SNL, and he was saying that when he first did Sean Connery, he did a very technically accurate Sean Connery,
right.
But it wasn't as funny until he pushed it to the next level and did a full-blown, exaggerated caricature version of Connery, and then that was much funnier.
I think that's the thing like people like more, like a exaggerated version, like you said, an exaggerated mm-hmm. version of the person rather than a full-on technical. Like people, when they hear Seinfeld impressions, you know, Seinfeld doesn't talk like that, but he...
Right.
That's an exaggerated
version.
But
that's how everybody believes he talks now.
Yeah.
I remember an interview with William Shatner where he was saying, talking about people doing impressions of him, and, you know, they exaggerate things like the pauses that Shatner makes.
Right.
Things like that, and he's like, well, you know, it's tough for me to relate that to to the real me, because I'm sure like Jimmy Stewart was like, I don't go all the time.
Yeah, exactly. That's some Dana Carvey stuff.
But that's what you got to do. Dana Carvey was a master at that. We're just pushing that impression to the next level. Like he did that with the first George Bush and with Paul McCartney.
Yeah,
and I mean just about anybody he did.
Yeah, I think when you over exaggerate like that, then people feel like they can do it too,
mm-hmm.
and so maybe that makes it more palatable and more relatable.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, overall, this cold open was okay.
It was okay. It was just I find most everything related to Trump very exhausting these days.
No,
just
as you should. As you should.
Because the whole joke of him being president, it's pretty much over, and now it's just sad and horrifying. Even like the exaggerated comedic version that we get of Trump on SNL, I'm sort of like, ugh.
Yeah, we're just kind of crawling to the finish line, hopefully.
Yeah, it's just tough to have a whole lot of fun with him. I mean, maybe the stuff will be funnier in retrospect when we're looking back on this and like, 10, 20 years and how insane that time was?
Yeah, if the world hasn't imploded by then.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be watching it in our little post-apocalyptic bunkers.
Yes, of course.
We're looking like something out of Mad Max or Max Headroom or...
Max Headroom?
Some science fiction show with Max in the title.
It'll be like an old tube TV that we found.
Exactly, exactly.
In our bunkers.
It'll be broadcast on Big Reg's big time television.
Yes, as we...
Blank Reg. That was him.
Blank Reg?
Blank Reg.
What's Blank Reg?
That was W. Morgan Shepherd's character on Max Headroom.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That is a... How did you know that?
I watched Max Headroom when it was on.
People, he's not even looking on his phone. He just knew that.
Yeah.
That is impressive.
I enjoyed the Max Headroom.
Okay. No,
Amanda Pays, she was a cutie.
I don't even know these words you're saying.
Matt Frewer?
I mean, him I know. I mean, okay. I knew Max Headroom from the Pepsi commercials. I didn't watch the show, though. I didn't know the whole...
Did he do Coke or Pepsi?
Oh, the soda.
Coke. It was Coke that used like the catch the wave slogan, right?
Yeah,
because like Max Headroom did the.
I thought Max Headroom did Pepsi commercials.
We should look this up.
We should. Yeah, is this doing how we always just bring up stuff from our past on these modern day shows?
Yeah,
yeah.
What we do.
Yeah,
that's what
true.
We do. Like Frank's our producer Frank Blowey, he said to me recently, just lean into the stupid.
Yes, and lean in we will.
We're leaning in hard. I mean,
yeah,
I haven't talked about Max Headroom in a long time. I've talked about Trump a lot.
Yeah. Let's talk about Max Headroom.
I'd much rather talk about Max Headroom than Donald Trump.
People,
fucking day.
People, this is now a Max Headroom podcast.
That's so right.
Call in with your Max Headroom requests and compliments and concerns.
You know, actually, we could turn it into a Max Headroom podcast. I actually know somebody who wrote for that show.
What?
Yeah, Marty Pasco.
Huh.
Or he goes by Martin Pasco now, but he was a comic book writer. I've interviewed him a couple times via email, and he wrote for Max Headroom
as
well. So
wow, this is
We can make this happen.
This is breaking news. All right, fine. This is it. This is where we're taking our podcast.
That's right. That's what we'll do during the summer hiatus. We'll watch Max Headroom. It has hardly any connection to Saturday Night Live, I don't think.
No, not at all.
But
you know, it'll be fun to do.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, cold open. So yeah, it was so-so. It was okay. And then we go into the monologue.
Mm-hmm.
Don Cheadle hosting, coming out.
Came out dancing. Had a lot of energy. Had a lot of enthusiasm.
Bouncing. Had a great shirt on.
Uh-huh.
Of course, he talked about like his many roles and how people... Mm-hmm. He acknowledges he's one of those people who... When people see him on the streets, they know him, but they don't know who
they
he
don't,
is.
They don't have his name on the tip of their tongue. And he says, like, people start, like, going, oh. And he says it goes into like a Tito Puente thing.
Yeah, he made a Tito Puente joke. I'm like,
I know.
Are people gonna know that? You know, Tito Puente
was in the Who Shot Mr. Burns episode of The Simpsons, so he has pop culture immortality.
Wow,
for that. That was the very first place I heard of Tito Puente.
First Max Headroom, now this. How do you know all these things? Good gravy.
I didn't date a lot, Darren Patterson.
Okay. Darren Jermaine Patterson, please.
Darren Jermaine Patterson. Pardon me.
Thank you.
Pardon me.
Show some damn respect.
It makes you sound like one of a lost member of the Jackson family.
Darren Jermaine Patterson. According to my mom, she did name me, she did give me that middle name because at the time her favorite Jackson was Jermaine Jackson.
Should I reveal my middle name now, too? Is that how we're doing this?
If you want to put your government out there like that, sure, why not?
Sure. John Brando Trumbull.
Seriously?
Brando. Not spelled the same way as Marlon, but with a W at the end.
Oh, Brand. Where does that come from?
I think it's like a family name. I think the painter from like the Revolutionary War era was John Brando Trumbull.
Wow.
So
Brando.
I like how you just forgot to spell halfway through.
I did.
Brando. Yes.
Okay. Brand.
So,
yeah.
So like Marlon, but with a W at the end.
Brando. So I was right.
Yeah, it just sounded weird.
Look, Hulk, not good with words. All right, mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell you. Oh, boy.
So anyway, Don Cheadle.
Monologue. Yes.
He was talking about how the people trying to identify him. It goes into it. Tito Puente thing where people were like doing a little dance,
right?
And
then he mentioned the stuff he was in, like Boogie Nights, Hotel Rwanda, and then he mentioned like the one time he was in an episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and then they showed the clip of
as
him
Ice Tray,
and it's like, which, I barely remember that.
I have not seen that episode of Fresh Prince. I didn't watch much Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
What? That's a classic. What are you talking about? Well,
I don't know what to tell you. I don't.
Well, Brando, now you disappoint me.
I'm sorry, Jermaine.
Wow. And then it ended with, people saying they want to take pictures with him, and then Leslie Jones came out and wanted to take pictures with
him. Took a selfie with him.
Yeah, and then that was pretty much it.
It was a good monologue. I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
all right. I felt like it kind of evolved out of just Don Cheadle talking about like fans recognizing him on the street and stuff like that.
Right, yeah.
And...
They've done a lot. Like the last few people have just been just kind of the monologue, just been talking and riffing.
Well, that's what a monologue
is. I know that, but like I'm just used to a big production out of the monologue. Like cast members coming out and singing and dancing and jazz hands and all the like.
I enjoy when it's more of a personal thing than just doing like questions from the audience again or doing a big musical number. I wouldn't want them to do like a big number every week.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I like the variety. I like them to mix it up.
No, I like it too. It's just like I've noticed they've been doing it more and more. Like Halsey did it and McAvoy did it even. Damon did it. So it's like, oh, this is,
Yeah.
I guess this is what they're doing.
It's another one of their go-tos, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah, it is sort of like a personal recollection.
I guess it's a little bit nicer.
Yeah.
I think
it's all right.
All right, so next we have the Lincoln High School sketch.
Before we get into that, I just want to mention one thing.
What?
I want to mention one thing.
This is unplanned.
You know, it is.
You're going off script.
I'm going rogue. You know how SNL, they usually show you like a little peek of an upcoming sketch. You see like them setting up the set.
Yeah.
The flats and stuff.
Right.
When they were going into the first sketch, they showed the stagehands working on it, and they had one stagehand with a mohawk.
All right.
I want us to interview this guy. Why?
What?
Just because he looks cool. Because he's a guy with a mohawk in 2019. Tell me he doesn't have stories to tell.
I have
no idea what the name of the stagehand is, but I am starting this right now. I'm starting a campaign. We've got to get this guy on the show.
This is unprecedented. I did not see this coming, people.
Mohawk stagehand, I want to talk to you. We want you to come here. We're not far from the city.
No, not at all.
We can meet you across over the bridge or something like that.
We can do a remote. We could Skype it in.
That's right.
We can maybe go and have these on an Uber.
Somebody has to get word to Mohawk stagehand person.
So internet, do what you will and make it so.
That's right. We want to find out about this guy.
That's right. Make our dreams a reality.
All right. I already tweeted about this on the SNL Nerds Twitter account.
Right.
That's at SNL Nerds Show, by the way.
Yes.
And we gotta find a way to make this happen.
All right. This is unprecedented, but I'm in.
Okay.
You've sold me.
All right. All right. So now,
I'm easily swayed.
First sketch, Lincoln High School homeroom, the freshman TV show, Fresh Takes.
Fresh Takes.
Fresh Takes. They actually did this once before.
Did they?
Yeah. I looked it up. It was with the show with Larry David and Miley Cyrus. I did not remember the sketch at all, but I read online. Somebody said, like, oh, they did this before. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Okay.
And I looked it up on the handy-dandy SNL app.
Oh.
And nice. I watched that other sketch, or most of that other sketch.
And it's basically the same formula?
Same formula. Yeah.
All right.
Just awkward kids doing a mock news show.
Okay. So, all right. Well, okay. All right. Well, that's okay.
So,
So they brought this in, and I thought it was a pretty good sketch. I thought it was all right. My favorite part was... the part where Kyle Mooney was one of the teenage anchors, and
right.
He has like a touchscreen behind him, and he asks Kate McKinnon, he's like, oh hey, whatever her character name was,
right.
Hey Stacy, check this out, and it said, Stacy, will you go to prom with me? And of course Kate McKinnon's character's like, I said, oh no, I'm sorry, I'm going with Brett or something.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Kyle looks defeated, like, oh, it's okay, it's all right, whatever, I don't even care. And then he walks off stage, and as he walks off stage, The touchscreen says, she said yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was funny. I laughed out loud at that part.
That was cute. Honestly, I think what I found the most amusing was that it was obviously supposed to be a touchscreen, but it so obviously was not.
It was
just like a regular set, and Kyle Mooney was like hitting the screen, and you hear like his hand thump against the screen.
I didn't even hear that. Wow.
And then I think somebody, whenever he touched it, somebody was using that as their cue to go to the next screen.
Oh.
I found that very amusing.
Oh, okay.
It was like a little technical thing. I was like, oh, look at that. They couldn't spring for a real touchscreen thing.
Not in the budget.
The news division, they get all the touchscreens they want. They get the lasers and the holograms.
They got a whole Pink Floyd setup over there.
They do.
At CNN.
They do. On election night, they go effing nuts,
right?
Man.
They got no payola for the people at SNL to do their little song and dance show.
But, this was, I think, okay at best. It was...
Yeah.
I thought they've done similar things much better a lot of times in the past. I remember they had some sort of, like, closed-circuit TV students show with Maya Rudolph. Do you remember that? And she was, an awkward...
Not really. I don't
kid.
Remember that.
She was like an awkward kid, and she had like a crush on one of the guys in school, and she would be very awkward. I don't know. I thought this wasn't as good of a treatment of that similar idea.
All right. I'll give you that. I thought it was okay, but I didn't think it was great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the part where they showed like how two students were wanting to do like a rap battle class, of course it was Chris Redd and A.D. Bryant, and Chris Redd was like, yo, your shoes are whack. And then A.D. Bryant just breaks down crying. Like,
you don't know what I'm going through right now.
Like, I thought that was funny. And Don Cheadle's part as the teacher, who was like kind of checking out which teachers are buff and shredded.
Yeah.
And which teacher had the vicious V. That was a little odd.
Vicious V.
The vicious V.
He's like, let me check to see if I have one. And it's like, do you not know if you have one or not?
And yeah, and then he kind of just, he like almost like kind of showed off his body to the students. That was a little odd.
Yeah, but, and then he talks about bringing edibles
to party
to a teacher's party.
Yeah,
and
now I think about it, maybe that was a little odd. But
yeah,
it was cute.
I don't really think it was like lead sketch material personally. But
no, actually no. Wow, but you talked me out of it. Now I hate it.
Next, we had the Extreme Baking Championship. We had different people that are competing on one of these competitive baking shows. They're all making cakes based on cartoon characters.
Right.
We had Leslie Jones. She had cooked Olaf from Frozen, but it was a very misshapen Olaf.
It looked terrible.
Yeah, they showed the designs of the cake, and then they did the reveal where they put up the lid and reveal the cake, and it's just this hideous thing.
Yeah.
And then Don Cheadle's playing a guy named Jimmy, who did a misshapen Cookie Monster that has Sean written across the front.
Yeah.
And they go, "Who's Sean?" He's like, "I don't know. I had no idea.
This is terrible."
Leslie, she was making excuses for how her cake turned out. She just says, "My nerves got the best of me, and also I'm bad." And then they go to the third contestant, who is Heidi Gardner, and she does like a perfect SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah, and everybody just kind of dismisses. Like,
they just want to move on and get to the bad stuff.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, it's okay.
And then fourth we had
Cal Mooney.
Cal Mooney doing a Yoda holding his penis, which was like it was like sort of like a green lightsaber.
I thought they were going to say, oh, he's holding a lightsaber and just having like a penis. But then he said, oh, no, he's just holding his penis.
Yeah, yeah.
This sketch was kind of all over the place.
It was a little weird. Okay, the big turn, I think, was Don Cheadle's character, his Cookie Monster. It actually started like...
The cake.
Yeah, the cake started talking, saying, "Kill me!" And it spewed out blue liquid.
Yeah.
And he says, "My cake is such an abomination that it's come to life." Mm-hmm. And then the cake goes, "Please destroy me. I feel nothing but pain," which I liked that.
It got weird.
I enjoyed that. I thought it was weird that we went from that then to Heidi Gardner, and she has the normal cake, and she's getting indignant because she's getting no attention, and the people who did the hideous cakes.
Right.
And then we introduce one more hideous cake. With Kyle Mooney.
Yeah, but then we don't really talk about it. The tone was off.
I just thought it was weird that we had four contestants, and I don't know if that's like a format thing from the actual reality show.
It's usually about like three or four.
But I really feel like you should have just done comedy rule of threes and had just three contestants.
Yeah, I thought it felt like the sketch was started off written by one person, and then it was ended written by another person. Like, it seemed like it was like two different people, two different visions, kind of came in.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of wrote the sketch, and like, I didn't know where the focus was supposed to be.
Yeah,
like,
I thought
the tone, like, it, like, once the cake started talking, then it became more surreal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, so what's like, I didn't, it just seemed like a bunch of ideas smushed together in this, and I didn't know exactly which one to focus on.
A little muddled. I really feel like we should have just eliminated one of the cakes. Either Heidi's cake with her getting indignant,
right?
Because she wasn't getting the attention she deserved, or eliminate Cal Mooney's cake, because it's like, well, do you need a third weird cake at that point?
Yeah,
I really feel like just rule of threes, just threes, and and that's it.
Three's a magic number.
Yeah,
yeah. It was just kind of the tone. I didn't know. Again, the tone was like, all right, so what are we? Is it just like, I don't know. It confused me.
And I don't want to make it seem like I didn't enjoy the sketch. I did enjoy this sketch.
No, it was fun. How can you not laugh at a blue mush spewing out blue liquid?
Exactly.
That's just hilarious.
Pretty much any sketch where they set up a pipe and it's like spewing something out, I'm there. I am there for that.
Gold, Jerry, gold!
But, I love the idea, and we should mention that Keenan was doing the voice of the cake.
Yeah, of course. That was...
Which was funny.
Yeah.
But it was kind of weird. I think the first time he said "kill me," like the cake wasn't on camera, so you're just like, "What the hell was that?"
Yeah, and then they cut to the cake. And it's like, "Oh, all right. I guess the cake has come to life now."
I just feel like they could have gone like just a little further with the demonic cake. Like, I don't know what it would do. Like, possess somebody or explode or something.
Yeah.
I wanted another big thing to happen with that cake.
Yeah, it just kind of came to life, spewed blue liquid, and then.
Yeah.
The end.
And then we move on to the Yoda penis cake.
Yeah. And I mean, after you have a cake spewing out blue barf, how can you go to Yoda penis?
Even the Yoda penis can't really top that.
Yeah, really can't. You'd think it could, but it can't.
And I mean, on its own, Yoda penis, again, I am there for it. Comedically.
Oh,
comedically.
Okay. All right.
The sense of a comedic sketch, I am there for the Yoda penis.
Everybody knows that awkward pause I just gave?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, comedically.
Comedically.
And next we had the cake with Pound Puppy.
Yes, yes. We went into a film segment that was all about the problem that I think a lot of people have had.
Yes.
Where you're getting down to business.
Yeah, you're getting down and dirty.
And you're freaking out your dog.
Yes. Because
the dog doesn't know what's going on.
Right. And the dog stared at you and your lover as you're about to,
consummate.
Yes. About to, have coitus. And then... the dog just stares at you. He's like, what's going on? And,
yeah, yeah.
You can't put away the dog because the dog freaks out. So what do? You have sex inside a giant tent shaped like a dog.
Right, because then the dog will just assume that there is another giant dog in the bedroom.
Right, of course.
And go about his day.
Yeah, so feel free to thrash about and make moaning noises inside this big dog tent.
Mm-hmm.
And whilst your dog stares.
It's a very specific problem, but I think it's also sort of a universal problem. I think most people have been there at one point or another, having your pet be freaked out when there's something sexual going on.
Yeah, or if you're at somebody's house and they just happen to have a dog or a cat and the dog just stares at you. I've heard it happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought this sketch was pretty funny.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
it's I like the absurdity of the giant dog costume that two people can fit in and they're saying as a selling point, you can have all sorts of positions in there. And
there was one point where the tent was against a wall.
Yeah.
God, what are they doing in there?
And I also like that they came up with the name Pound Puppy for it.
I feel like they came up with a name first and a sketch after.
Maybe.
Pound.
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
But this
is a pretty good sketch. And, of course, it's available in the adult section of Petco, which I thought was a little funny tag.
Yes, I enjoyed that. But that is a product that could probably get a few buyers.
Probably. I could see it.
That is a thing that happens.
Yeah.
That has happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Will happen again.
That's right. You're not going to get rid of your dog.
Yeah.
And you're going to want to get down and dirty with your mate.
I once was seeing a woman who had her dog sleep in the same bed as her normally.
Wait, what?
And yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you said the dog was in bed with them while they were.
No, not in the sketch. I'm talking about.
Oh, in real life?
In real life.
This
person, she normally slept with her dog.
Oh.
And the first time I was over, she had the dog outside. But then after that, it was the dog was in there. And I was just like,
huh.
Okay. And. I just want to say I did not appreciate that, Kathy.
Oh, boy. Oh, wow. We're putting out everybody's government.
She's not listening. She's not listening. We had a bad breakup. Don't worry about it.
Oh, I tagged Kathy on this. So.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, was I not supposed to? Oh, so sorry, Kathy.
Okay, well.
Oh, boy. All right. Next up, Gary Clark Jr.
Gary Clark Jr.
Jr.
Not going to forget that again.
I guess we could talk about both his performances.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty straightforward. He did two of his songs, one of his new songs, political song about, life in, Trump country now. I think they're both going to be on his new album that comes out later this month.
Mm-hmm.
But, what do you think? I mean, I knew about him before.
I enjoyed him. All I knew about him was he was a little Jimi Hendrix-y, I think you said last.
Yeah, Hendrix-y, bluesy, rock. Mm-hmm.
And so he was about what I expected. His first song, he sang in a bit of a falsetto, which surprised me.
Yeah, that was a little bit more. He had like a Prince type of vibe. I'd say.
Yeah, I could see that. But I enjoyed him. I didn't love him, didn't hate him.
Okay.
But
indifferent.
I liked him. I thought he was perfectly fine. I would listen to more of his stuff.
All right. Yeah, no, he's a good dude. He makes good music and good stuff. And there's no pop and circumstance with his performances. Just straight, flashy, just straight up.
Yeah, he wasn't like a lot of the musical guests this season where he's doing a big production number.
Yeah.
No, he's just there playing.
Yeah.
And that used to be the norm, and now that's unusual.
Yeah. It says a lot about the state of music where it's unusual, where we see a musician playing an instrument, and that's oh, that's weird.
He was just standing there playing his song.
Wow.
And it's,
wow.
He wasn't dancing. He didn't have backup singers doing a big thing. He didn't have a big lighting effect.
Where are the pyrotechnics?
Yeah, I know. Where
are the holograms and laser shows? Where's the Plink Floyd stuff?
At the Plink Floyd?
Plink. It's a cover
Plink
band
Floyd.
Of Pink Floyd. It's a cover band of Pink Floyd.
They just do it on a little player piano like Schroeder from Peanuts.
Nice.
That's Plink Floyd.
bloop, bloop, bloop.
Well done, sir. Yeah. You did take improv class.
Something I thought was really cute is at the end of his first number, he just mouthed "Hi, Mom." To the camera.
I didn't even notice that.
I thought it was cute.
Oh,
yeah.
I like that.
Watch it again. See it for the first time.
And another thing that a lot of people are liking is when Don Cheadle introduced him for the second performance, he had his t-shirt.
I heard about this. I didn't notice it when I was watching last night.
Yeah.
What did the t-shirt say?
On his second performance, you know, when Don Cheadle came out and said, once again, Garrett Clark Jr., John Cheadle is wearing a t-shirt that says, Protect Trans Kids.
Wow.
And a lot of people are loving that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, all right. And he also, there was another thing that Don Cheadle wore towards the end of the show.
We'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, a little later. That one I noticed. And,
oh.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that until I read up on it. I was like, oh, how'd I miss that?
Yeah, yeah. And Don Cheadle tweeted something this morning. He was talking about he had such a great experience hosting the show, and he said it was so much fun coming into play and also... throw shade.
Yes.
He mentioned that. So, yeah, those were very intentional clothing choices on his part.
We've said it before and we'll say it again. Don Cheadle rocks.
Don Cheadle rocks.
Don Cheadle rocks.
Don Cheadle rocks. So next we had Weekend Update with Colin Jost and Michael Che.
Michael Che. This is fun.
Yeah.
Usually Weekend Update is pretty strong, but even I'll admit, I was like,
this was a weak segment.
Yeah,
a Weekend Update.
This is a weekend update.
Colin in particular,
you never like Colin, though.
I don't hate him as much as I used to. I always have to qualify this.
Oh, wow.
But
all right.
He particularly had a bad night. He bombed a lot.
Mm, yeah.
I will say than he should have.
Everybody has them.
Yeah. He did have a line that I liked where he was talking about the Trump speech about declaring the national emergency to build the wall. He said, watching that was watching Schoolhouse Rock have a stroke. I thought that was a good line.
That was a good line.
But he later did a climate change joke about having an outdoor press conference in February, and it got this real tepid response. It was
that was a great point, but no one went with him on that.
Yeah, he just... I don't know. He didn't push the joke enough, or maybe it was the delivery or something.
Or maybe it's I don't know. Maybe it was too real for you guys. Maybe. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's it. Colin Jost was too real for us.
Oh, am I too real? It's too raw for you?
Yeah, Colin Jost is just dropping the truth bombs.
Is Collie J just too real for y'all punk ass? What? Mic drop. I could see him do it.
Yeah.
Woo!
Colin Jost. Yeah, because when I think Colin Jost, I think too real.
Oh my God, he's so real.
I think the guy from Staten Island who plays golf and does the commercial he did? Like the Izod commercial?
That's the commercial. Whitest.
Who's dating Scarlett Johansson and who went to Harvard. Yeah, he's too real.
He's too in your face.
He's too real.
He's the new Bill Hicks, man. Why don't you get behind it? Why don't you grow up and listen to Reddit?
Oh, God. That Ratitude line will never not be funny to me.
It
will never not be funny to me.
It's in my lexicon now. It's in there.
Why don't you grow up and listen
to Reddit?
I got to add that to my lexicon. But we had Michael Che and he was kind of feeling some of the same exhaustion we were talking about earlier, where he's just like, I'm sick of telling Trump jokes. And he said, you know, now he's been going on with this insane idea for so long. Now I kind of want to see the wall because it's just such a bad idea and he's hitting it so hard.
Yeah.
I want to see him do a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah. And there was that one quick thing they did where Pete Davidson was at the at the border.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. We built this wall side. It looks like ladders now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that didn't get
it. Put the slats. Yeah. It literally, when it came back to Colin just had to say, that was it. That was how we knew the joke was over.
Oh. Because I was like,
because it just did not get the response they were wanting or expecting.
I was like, what is happening?
And
then Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi came out.
Right. And the two of them. It was Alex Moffat and Kate McKinnon. Both, and I like what they've done with Schumer and Pelosi.
Yeah.
And they're both trying not to gloat over their victory over Trump, because Trump got very, very little of what he was asking for.
Like 2% of what he wanted. And that's pretty, it's just them kind of just gloating and
Pelosi
doing a hand clap and
I don't have much to say about it, but I thought it was a good solid segment.
Yeah, I don't really. It's like it is okay. Where else was there? And there was also another joke I liked where they want Colin Jost talking about how they want ambulances to have the European siren, like instead of the regular siren, so you could pretend like so next time you're in the ambulance, you could pretend you have like universal health care. I thought that was a kind of good
That was
line.
A pretty good line.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a pretty good line. Then we had Che, I thought, had a nice line about the whole Ryan Adams thing going on right now. Because apparently the singer-songwriter Ryan Adams, he's... Oh, sorry.
There you go.
problematic bell.
problematic bell.
Oh, God. Are we going to have a jingle for the problematic bell now?
Every time I remember to say it.
Now it's the reason I introduced the problematic bell so we didn't have to do a whole thing.
But now I want to make it a thing. Now, all right.
Now we got to do a big production number every time.
Problematic bell.
But anyway, Ryan Adams, he got into some trouble this week.
Yes.
And the FBI is investigating him for having inappropriate text conversations online conversations with an underage girl. Yeah. And Che said the black man did it first.
And then they showed R. Kelly.
Yeah, which...
Problematic bell.
Great line.
That got groans.
That got groans, and then it cuts to Colin, and you hear Che go, I still stand by it. Which, I love Che just doubling down on it.
Yeah, the audience, I don't know if it was the audience was weird, or they were off, but it was,
I think it was a little of both.
Yeah, it was just a weird tone.
But the next we had a thing about how the Oscars happening next weekend don't have a host, and Beck Bennett came on as his character Jules, who sees things a little differently. And
you didn't like him the first time.
I didn't like him the first time. He has not improved. This character sucks.
Wow.
I'm just
second time, not the charm.
It did not. The familiarity is building even more contempt for this character.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of liked him the first time, but the second time, it's just,
Like, this character, he's supposed to be annoying, but annoying in a funny way, and I just find him annoying.
He's just annoying in an annoying way.
Yeah, exactly. He never crosses over into funny for me. I would have much rather had just John Mulaney and Pete Davidson come on and talk about the Oscars the way they talked about the Clint Eastwood movie The Mule.
Well, just wait up, because later on we'll talk about that.
What?
What? Oh,
what?
Teaser.
What? Oh.
Teaser. Foreshadowing.
I wonder what's going on.
I know.
Jeez, I'm going to have to listen to the rest of the show and find out.
That's right. Stay tuned, kids.
This
Jules character, I mean, I kind of, you know, when you say like Black Panther, or as I call him, Equal Panther. See, you laughed. You just
Because you're funny.
Oh, thank you. Of course.
The Jules character, not funny.
Follow me on Twitter. They're incredible. But yeah,
you know, actually, it's funny. This came up in my Facebook memories this morning, because apparently, like a year ago today was when we saw Black Panther.
Ooh,
my friend Frank. Frankie had a line who just said, "Orange is the new Black Panther." Which, that makes me laugh. It's stupid, but it makes me laugh.
I like it. I'll allow it. This Jules character, I can see how he can be great. It seemed like the audience wasn't digging him either.
Yeah.
It was just...
It was just pretentious and annoying. And, you know, if I want a character who's, like, pretentious and up their own hindquarters too much, I'd rather have the girl you wish you hadn't started a conversation with at a party.
Yeah.
Because I always found that character funny.
Yeah. And actually, this is a pretty light Cecily Strong episode, too. She wasn't in a lot.
It was, yeah. She didn't show up too much. She was in the press conference at the beginning,
and
she showed up again a little later.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that.
Okay. Yeah. in my notes, I literally have Colin is bombing tonight. He had the Cheez-It joke. The Katy Perry shoe joke.
Oh yeah, looked more like Miss Potato Head.
Yeah, and that just did nothing, and it was just like,
yeah.
And Colin, these days he usually does better than this. This was like his first year on the show.
Yeah, sometimes we have off days. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah,
Sometimes it. Yeah, as comedians, we know sometimes it is the audience.
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes
I really sincerely don't want to hit Colin too hard
Yeah.
on it.
I mean, just give, cut him some slack, man. I mean, he works on SNL. He's, you know, he's dating Scarlett Johansson. Just give him...
He's allowed to have an off night. You're right.
Yeah, just cut him some slack, man. He needs this.
You're right. He's had a really rough time of it being head writer on SNL and dating Scarlett Johansson.
He's had a rough go, man.
He has had to overcome a lot of hardships. Right? You're right.
He's had adversity.
You're right.
Thank you. And then they ended with the Mikey Day's character, Mort Fellner.
The super centenarian.
Yes.
So, which is like somebody who's at least 110 years old, I think.
I thought it was over 100 or 110.
No, I think it was over 110.
Oh, okay.
They explained it, and I didn't put it down in my notes.
I zoned out.
I mean, the joke here was basically like everybody is dying.
Yes.
They're all dead. Including the joke of this segment.
Ooh.
It's just a weak way to end it.
Yeah, I was actually online while this was happening on the Twitters.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who follow that week in SNL.
Yeah.
And he actually made a good point. He said, like, this seems like something that Tim Kazurinsky would have done in the 80s.
I saw that tweet, yes.
Yeah. And it was like, even the voice kind of sounds Kazurinsky-esque.
Yeah.
This is the whole Scott seems like...
And just to clarify, that's not really a compliment.
No, it is not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Tim Kazurinsky, funny guy, didn't do that great on SNL.
Officer Tweetchuck, come on.
Yeah.
Police Academy movies, that's canon. But yeah, this was... I mean, usually the weekend update is the strongest part. This was... I was like, wow.
It was a mixed bag at best.
At best.
At best. And that's being generous.
You're being kind. I was like, oh.
I mean, I always enjoy what Jay does because I've said it many times before. Yeah. He always finds like a nice, fresh slant. And that's really tough to do in the news these days, especially when you're doing it like the end of the week, the way SNL does, when you've already had like a week's worth of the Daily Show and Stephen Colbert and whatever else in the comedy world.
Right, exactly. I mean,
weekend updates usually kind of late to the party these days, but
very much so.
Jay usually finds a nice take.
Yeah, but this was...
I don't know. Honestly, part of me wouldn't mind just seeing Jay do it solo, but he and Colin have developed a decent interplay.
Yeah. They have a good rapport.
You know, where they have like a really funny black guy and then a kind of lame white guy, which
it's
a formula that can sometimes work. Like, I mean, if you were doing a podcast with that,
I could see that.
It could work.
I could see that working,
Yeah.
Like a super cool, hip black guy with a kick-ass middle name.
Right,
and
right.
And like the nerdy
pasty white guy.
Yeah, just, you know.
Who is not dating Scarlett Johansson.
Not dating ScarJo, just trying to pull it together.
Just trying to get by as best he can.
Yeah, next to like a super cool, hip...
Being carried by... Cool, the super cool
black guy, like super buff, really,
right,
really awesome. Life is going his way.
Has like a nice close cropped beard,
right? You know, kick ass threads,
smoky eyes,
smoky. What?
Sorry.
What? So the next sketch,
Family Feud, Oscar nominee edition,
Celebrity Family Feud.
Oh, Celebrity Family Feud. You're right.
Yeah.
Where we had the film veterans versus the movie newbies.
Right.
Where we had Keenan Thompson doing his Steve Harvey once again. Yeah. Steve Harvey, he's bald and he's got a mustache and he has funky suits. And
I got a mustache and a crazy suit.
And so let's run through who everybody was playing. We had Don Cheadle, Spike Lee.
Yes.
We had Kate McKinnon as Glenn Close.
Yes.
Great impression, by
the way. Yeah, that was good.
Great Glenn Close impression. I would like to see her do Glenn Close again. Ooh. It was really good. We had Beck Bennett as Sam Elliott. Decent Sam Elliott, I thought. I liked his line where they said if he wins the Oscar, he's going to like get his neck fixed because my head won't stand upright.
Yeah. That's. I mean,
that was cute.
Yeah.
And we had Cecily Strong.
There's Cecily.
Hey. We had Cecily Strong. One of our favorites is Olivia Colman from...
The Favorite.
Thank you.
She was also in Hot Fuzz.
Oh, was she in... What did she do in Hot Fuzz?
She's a female cop.
Oh!
The lady cop.
Jeez, I didn't realize.
Yeah, that's how... I mean, I didn't know who it was either, but then I like read her thing. I was like, oh, Hot Fuzz! That's like...
I'm going to have to watch Hot Fuzz again just to see her and appreciate her. And,
yeah.
I mean, like, I need an excuse to watch Hot Fuzz again, but...
Guys, watch Hot Fuzz. It's one of the best comedies I've ever...
Comedies? It's one of the best comedies ever.
It's one of the best comedies ever. No, but it's a great comedy. Like, Hot Fuzz is so underrated.
Yeah, it really is. It is on a par with Shaun of the Dead, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge... God, what's wrong with me? I'm a huge Edgar Wright fan. And, like, my two favorite Edgar Wright movies are Scott Pilgrim versus the World and Hot Fuzz.
Like, solid choices. Like those solid choices, both.
Those two are just like just yeah. above and beyond.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I am so excited now that I know that Olivia Colman was in Hot Fuzz.
Check her out.
I had no idea that was her.
Yeah, she's like the one female police officer.
But back to the sketch. Yes. We had Cecily, and I thought it was a good impression, but like they said in the sketch, people still don't really know who Olivia Colman is, so
yeah.
it was kind of lost.
Yeah, that's true.
And then on the other side with the movie newbies, we had Melissa Villaseñor breaking out the Lady Gaga once again. Second week in a row.
Gaga again.
That's like her go-to for...
Yeah.
She's just playing to the Melissa monsters now.
Oh!
I wouldn't have minded a little bit of a break between last week and this.
It is weird that we're getting her again. Like, yeah. So it's like... Really?
They got to give her a rest for a couple weeks.
Yeah. And plus, you could do so many other characters.
I mean, for that too.
Yeah.
And we had Kyle Mooney as Bradley Cooper. Not a great impression.
He's not an impressionist.
He's not an impressionist. I mean, honestly,
a lot of them aren't impressionists.
If they had, he didn't really look like Bradley Cooper. He didn't really sound like Bradley Cooper. If they hadn't said it was Bradley Cooper, I would not have been able to guess.
Like, why is Kyle Mooney with facial hair?
Yeah.
On stage.
Yeah. I mean, not that he can't do funny characters. I've seen him do funny characters, but yeah like you said, not an impressionist.
Right.
And then we had Pete Davidson as Rami Malek from Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Which basically just playing over the resemblance that he has to Rami Malek.
Yeah, bug eyes and whatnot.
Wow.
What? He does. Everybody knows it.
Pete Davidson has bug eyes.
What? He knows it. I'm not telling tales out of school. He knows.
And then we had Chris Redd as
Mahershala Ali.
Yeah, thank you.
From Green Book.
From Green Book. And, you know, neither he nor Pete had too much to say. They were just there to kind of fill it out.
They needed more people.
They needed four people on that side. And I don't know. I mean...
it seemed to drag on this sketch.
Well, I mean, the thing with Family Feud sketches, it's always like a structural thing. It's, and like the real Family Feud, they have like five people per team. And for the sketches, they cut it down to like four people. So we don't have as many.
For time.
But the thing is with a Family Feud thing is you're doing Celebrity Family Feud and you have to introduce everybody.
Right.
So that's eight characters you have to introduce, and Steve Harvey has to have like a line or two.
Right.
So that's like nine people you have to go through before you can even really get into the meat of the sketch.
Right.
So the thing is like half over before you can really do much of anything.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, and also like we said before, they're not all impressionists. So, you know, with the exception of Melissa, who's a great impressionist, but everybody else is doing like caricatures.
Kate's a good impressionist.
Kate's good too. All right. Kate and Melissa, I'll give you that. But like everybody else is kind of doing half-assed characters of the celebrities, so it's like it's just like a lot to sit through to just not great impressions. And
It got me to thinking about, I mean, because they've done a lot of Family Feud sketches over the years.
They never really work.
I think there have been a few that do work. Works when you have like a clearly defined group of people, like when they did it with the Coneheads. That worked.
Whoa! You're going back to the Coneheads.
I'm going back to the Coneheads. Okay. That was probably the first Family Feud sketch they ever did, and it also worked when this was one of the early times when Alec Baldwin hosted. They had the Baldwins host, or they had the Baldwins compete in Family Feud, and it was Alec Baldwin, Kim Basinger. That'll show you how far back that was.
Ooh.
And I think they had a couple of the real life Baldwin brothers come in,
like
Steven and Billy and
Danny, and
I don't think Daniel was there.
Harpo.
Yes. Chico.
Chico.
Shemp. Shemp was there. Shemp Baldwin.
Sneezy, Dopey Dog. Jermaine.
Yes. Jermaine. Jermaine Baldwin.
Jermaine Baldwin. They don't talk about him.
See, I think that works when you have a clearly defined group of people where it's, you don't have to introduce every single person.
Yeah.
And have, when it's just a little random assortment of people like this, I don't think it works as well.
Yeah, because like each person has to do their impression and their few lines. It takes forever.
I think if they do this again, they really should think about just cutting it down to like three people per side, because that'll just keep things moving.
Yeah.
And you could get just as many laughs out of that, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's enough like the Real Family Feud that I don't think anybody's really going to
mind. They can make something up. Like, the other two people aren't, stuck in traffic or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They don't even have to do that. Just do it with three people and don't comment on it, you know?
That makes sense.
I mean, when you do Celebrity Jeopardy, you only have like the three contestants and Alex Trebek.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah, it does work.
And then most other game show sketches they do, it's usually like just one... like a couple people,
right?
Or like two teams.
Yeah.
So you don't have as many people to go through. But Family Feud, it's just infinite.
Yeah.
You know?
It just takes forever.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. But so this sketch I wasn't a fan of.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw your tweets about it.
Just like, oh, good.
Yeah. You were like, this is taking forever.
Follow me at Darren Credible. So next up was the bar fight sketch.
Bar fight. Yeah, we had Beck Bennett and Don Cheadle. They're getting into a bar fight.
Yeah.
And Beck's like, well, we got to put my fighting music on the jukebox.
On the jukebox.
And they start a fight. Or they're getting ready to kick each other's asses.
To rumble.
And the song starts up, and it's Lollipop by Mika.
Yes, this 2007 song, which...
It goes back that far?
Yeah, like 07, 08, the song.
Wow.
I didn't even heard of the song. I guess it was a hit, maybe, or I don't know.
I've heard the song before.
Oh, okay.
I did not realize it was that old.
Yeah, but, 2007, and of course it ends, goes, it's like, what song is this? Like, I can't fight to this.
On a lollipop,
and it ends with them, like, instead of fighting, the song is so catchy that they end up dancing to it.
They start kind of grooving to the music, and then it just turns into...
Like a full-on, like, flash mob, like everybody in the bar starts dancing.
Yeah, all the extras in the bar, they all start dancing in perfect synchronization.
Yeah, and people pull out, like, streamers and, like, this confetti everywhere, and it's turned into a dance number.
And then the song stops, and then just abruptly
punches
out back. I enjoyed this one. This was one of those ones that I thought was just so wonderfully dumb, I couldn't help but like it.
Yeah, it's like, all right, it's a simple premise, just, people dancing and I mean, if it wasn't for like that big, the way they just kind of took it at the end where everybody just dancing and it's confetti and it's just like a big dance number,
I like
that saved it a little.
I liked how far they took it. I wouldn't have minded seeing them like go through another couple inappropriate songs and then just maybe changing as they go.
Like She's Like the Wind or something like that, or
I don't know. They could do She's Like the Wind. And they start slow dancing or something. Kind of like those dance offs that Ellen DeGeneres does on her show sometimes, where they're changing up the style of music and then people are
okay. I don't think
dancing.
I know what you're talking about. I don't want Ellen that much, but yeah, they could like start off with Mika and then go off into
I thought that might be fun. It was good the way it was. I wish somehow it could have been gone like a little further than what it did. But
yeah, I see what you mean. It kind of ended good. Just like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
So, I guess that was it.
Mm-hmm.
The next sketch, Roach X. I think this was a sketch of the night, personally.
Yeah, that was your favorite. I liked it. You were a big fan of that. This one went surprisingly dark.
Yes, it did.
It started out as like a typical Roach commercial. We had Don Cheadle and Kyle Mooney and... was there a third one?
Kyle Mooney, Don Cheadle. No, there were the two Roaches. And then there was a family with Mikey Day, Heidi Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it started off with the voice saying, oh, Roaches coming into your home. And it has Don Cheadle and Mooney coming dressed as Roaches.
Right.
Like those old commercials from like the 70s or 80s.
Right. And in this commercial, they're like bad house guests.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, you just can't get rid of these Roaches. And then they take it further.
Yes.
And Don Cheadle sleeps with
sleeps with
Heidi.
Sleeps
with the wife.
And like he's like the Roach is like cozying up to the kid and like he's basically kind of becoming like the father figure.
A surrogate father.
Yes, exactly.
And then we have Mikey Day coming up with the Roach X bug spray.
And he's like, out of here, you're drunk.
And he's like and then Cheadle comes up. And he's like, you don't have the guts to do it. Do you? And he's putting the nozzle of the spray bottle up to his forehead. And he's like,
yeah, pull the trigger.
Do it. And then the kid, their little boy, sprays him from behind.
Yeah,
his back
and he killed him. And you could see the Don Cheadle Roach be like,
and they like lock eyes while he's dying. And you see Don Cheadle's Roach character just sort of twitching, going through his death throes
right.
on the... on the floor. Not making any noises.
Yeah.
So Pete Davidson's character from last week would not approve.
Ooh.
But and then they just put the Roach X.
Yeah. Roach X. And it just goes back up. That's a great sketch. I was like, why didn't they put this on earlier? This was hilarious.
My only thought is that it...
Was it too dark?
Yeah, it was kind of dark, so maybe they just decided to put it towards the end of the show. So, I don't know.
I guess, but I don't know. I thought it was... I really liked this guy. That was, like, you know, written well, and that turn where it goes, like, mm-hmm. super dark, but it comes...
And it was performed well.
Yeah.
I liked it. Mikey Day was like, you slept with my wife? And Don Cheadle was like, somebody has to.
Oh.
Just like, and then they cut to like Heidi just smoking in the bed.
Disrespectful.
In his own home, under his own roof.
My God.
That Roach had it coming.
That
Roach had it coming.
He had it coming. He had it coming.
Doing a little cell block tango. Yeah. Nice.
He only had himself to blame. I do it all, people.
You know, just Cicero.
What is wrong with this podcast?
I don't know.
Oh, these tangents.
I don't know. Next we had
final sketch.
Regal Promenade Pavilion, which we had.
It was Kate and 80.
Kate and 80. Yeah, as a husband and wife, and they're selling their wedding venue.
Yeah,
I don't have much to say about this one.
Not much. Honestly. I mean, I knew what... Actually, did you know what this sketch was based off of?
No, it was parodying a specific thing.
It is parodying a specific
Ooh,
thing.
Like, if tell me more.
Oh, if you're a native... If not even native New Yorker, but if you watch New York television a lot, there's this venue in Brooklyn called the Grand Prospect Hotel. No, Grand Prospect Hall.
Oh.
And it's like that sketch was basically a parody of their commercial.
Oh.
If you go on YouTube, you can see it. It's like basically like, you know, a couple talking about, come have your wedding at Grand Prospect Halls. And okay. You know, look at chandeliers.
And it's got that local TV commercial vibe to
it. Yeah, yeah. It's in Brooklyn, you know, and then you say, oh, mm-hmm. chandeliers, mirrored ceilings, oh, you know, opulence, elegance. Okay. And of course, the tagline is, you know, we make your dreams come true.
Oh,
and right. So at the end of the sketch, it was like, we make your wedding look like a wedding.
See, okay, this makes much more sense to me now.
Right,
see, I had no idea they were parodying a specific thing.
Yeah, see, I knew once I saw it, I knew it was like, oh, that's the place in Brooklyn that they're mm-hmm. that they're mm-hmm. parodying. It's one of those things, again, sometimes they do like very specific things, like you wouldn't know it unless you know
yeah,
it,
yeah.
type of thing. But I mean, other than that, yeah, the sketch was okay.
It was okay. It filled the time.
Wow.
It killed like 3 minutes of programming, so
wow.
You're
not wrong.
I didn't dislike it. I just don't have much to say about it, because I was just like, okay, yeah, that is the thing that they did.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a lot of sketches in this episode. It was just like, I didn't have much to say about it. My notes are pretty slim. Like, I didn't have much to say about a lot of these sketches.
Yeah,
it just seemed like, all right. I mean, again, like we talked about, this episode was... I don't know. Something was off.
It was something off. It feels like the recurring theme I'm noticing is that a lot of these, they didn't quite go quite as far as we would have liked.
Yeah.
The Roach X, I think, really went to a logical end.
Yes.
I liked the cake baking thing. I thought that could have gone a little farther. I enjoyed the bar fight sketch. Right. That was probably my personal favorite.
Okay.
But, yeah.
It just seemed like they didn't... Like, they had good ideas, and mm-hmm. but then they kind of didn't know exactly which direction to take them in, or they didn't know how to end it. Or
yeah, I feel like maybe they weren't, a lot of the sketches weren't quite as developed as they should have been, and, you know, who knows why that happens.
Yeah, I mean, you know, time or...
Time thing, yeah.
Who knows? But, yeah, overall, I thought this episode was...
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah,
it was. I mean, which is a bummer because I was really looking forward to it. But I mean, I don't put the fault on Don Cheadle.
No, like, I think it was a writing thing. Cheadle rocks.
Yes, rocks.
Cheadle rocks.
As in the closing credits, he was wearing
He was wearing a Russian hockey jersey that said. And it said, you know, CCCP
right.
on the front. And then he turned around during the good nights, and it says Trump 45 on the back. And it's Trump with the backwards R, like Cyrillic. And they're just like, ooh. Doesn't say anything. Never commented on. He's just wearing it. He's just throwing that nonverbal shade out there.
Yeah.
And like we said, he tweeted this morning that he was like intentionally throwing some shade.
Yeah.
And that tweet ended with like evil grows in the darkness, something
yes,
like
very
that.
Very much so.
And
Cheadle rocks. Yeah.
God, and, I love that man. He's
yeah. And somebody also mentioned that he was wearing a hat that's like a from this organization called Sleeping Giants. Are you familiar
no,
with that?
No,
I think
heard
it's
this.
Like some type of political organization that you know combats evil in the darkness and whatnot.
Okay, well, should we look him up? Why don't we look him up? You were telling me a little just before the Good Nights. They had a little title card
yes.
for somebody who's worked on SNL over the years, Joe Dixo, who is nicknamed Joe Disco.
Right, because his name is spelled D-I-C-S-O.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Dixo, but if you look at that, it looks just like Disco. You just changed the C and the S.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, they put up his title card. He was a stage manager for SNL since 1975. He was there from 75 to 96. He was there...
Wow.
For decades.
Yeah.
You might remember him as he had a few lines in the Steve Martin episode from the 90s when Steve Martin, he did the opening with the big musical number.
Not like, gonna phone it in tonight.
Yeah. And then they had the people behind the scenes singing. And he's the one that sang into the camera, I could never get fired. I've got a union job. But tonight, somehow, it doesn't matter that I'm in with the mob.
That's great.
And that was Joe Dixo. So apparently he passed away, I guess.
Oh, that's sad to hear. Because, you know, especially when it's like somebody who was with the show for that long.
Cause yeah.
Like, you think about all the stuff they must have seen or all the stories they must have had to tell. It's just...
Yeah, he's been there since the jump, and that's...
And he, like, retired in the 90s, so like 20-something years ago.
Yes, 96.
Yeah, so... But still. But our condolences to his family and friends.
R.I.P. Disco.
Yeah, there must be a lot of people at SNL who are missing him right now.
Yeah.
I found a little more information on Sleeping Giants.
Yes.
They're a social media activism organization aiming to persuade companies to remove ads from certain news outlets.
There you go.
So, let's
see. Yeah, and John Cheadle had their hat on.
Yeah, they started in November 2016, shortly after Donald Trump's victory in the presidential election, with the launch of a Twitter account aiming to boycott Breitbart News.
Ooh.
And they targeted, I think, some of their advertisers and stuff. So, yeah, they seem to be... And they've had several campaigns since, but I'm not going to get, you know, way into that.
Okay.
But that's what Sleeping Giants is about.
Yeah. So, check them out.
Cheadle.
Cheadle rocks.
Making a lot of statements.
I know.
That's like...
I know.
All sorts of clothing-related political statements.
Look
at that. Wow.
Man's a dynamo.
I'm impressed with Mr. Don Cheadle.
I know.
So,
this show, not so much, but Don Cheadle I'm impressed with.
Yeah. I mean, he was game. He performed wonderfully in all the sketches he did. I wouldn't mind seeing them bring him back.
Not at all. Hopefully he'll be back.
So that was the show. And next week SNL, they're going to rerun the Claire Foy Anderson .Paak episode.
Right.
But they're returning on March the 2nd with Mr. John Mulaney.
Ooh.
And Thomas Rhett.
Yes, John Mulaney, second time hosting.
Second time.
Yeah, Two Timers Club.
Yeah, he hosted last season, did a great job. He's made an appearance or two this season.
Yeah, he has. Natural.
He was a really solid host last time. Wrote for the show for forever.
That's good. So he knows how the machine works. So
exactly.
I see it going well. I'm actually looking forward to this.
I'm have high hopes.
Okay. And Thomas Rhett is a country singer I'm not familiar with.
Okay. Well, hey, I didn't even know which genre, so...
There you go.
Thomas Rhett, country singer we are not familiar with.
So, yes, we'll...
So, a country singer.
Yes. Oh, I know a few... I know Johnny Cash.
Okay.
I
don't think Johnny Cash is going to come on the show anytime
soon. The Oak Ridge Boys?
I don't know if they're going to come on the show anytime soon.
That might be it.
Okay.
Kenny Rogers? Island
it's
Industry.
It's possible. He is still alive.
Eddie Rabbit? That might
he
be
loves it. A rainy night.
There you go. I love a rainy
I have no idea if Eddie Rabbit is still alive.
Damn it.
All
right. And so that's it. Oh, so we should mention some updates, some news.
Yes,
we got some donations. We got some money.
We got a Patreon donation.
Yeah.
Over at non-productive.com.
Right.
We got it from, I think we can safely say, friend of the show. Justin Garner. So if that name sounds familiar, it is because... He has a connection with Heidi Gardner. He is the brother of Heidi Gardner. And so Justin gave us a little... Gives a little cheddar.
Little cashola, yeah. Clams, simoleons, as some would say.
On the Patreon over at non-productive.com,
yes.
Which you folks can do too. You can be cool like Justin Garner.
Yeah. Don't you want to be cool like Justin and give us some money?
I know. And he was like one of our early followers on Twitter. We've gotten to know him a little bit.
He's a cool dude.
Cool dude. Fun to talk to. Yeah. I talked to him back and forth. He did me another solid this week. He helped set me up an interview with a buddy of his who worked on Batman the Animated Series.
Whoa!
So I got to do an interview with that guy last weekend.
He has
so.
Connections.
Yeah, he goes back with one of the guys who wrote the writer's Bible.
Oh, hot for that dog!
Show, so
all right, well, thanks you so much, Justin.
So and
keep listening and keep shining, keep on rocking.
That's right. And we need to give another shout out to Casey Killingsworth. Who started following us on Twitter. I remember last week when we were waiting to record.
Yes.
I was waiting for you to arrive in the studio, so I just got on the Twitter account, and I said, hey, anybody who gives us a like and follows the account, we'll give you a shout-out on the next episode.
All right.
Casey did that, and he also rated us on the podcast app that they listen to on. It just occurs to me now. I'm not sure if Casey is a guy or a girl.
Oh.
I'm going to assume a guy.
Don't assume.
I'm just going to
assume. Casey can be a woman. Can he be a man or a woman? It's 2019.
Okay,
man.
It looks like a dude in his Twitter profile pic. So just, I'm going to say that and just blanket apology if I get that wrong. Problematic bell is broken.
Problematic bell.
It's a problematic bell in more ways than one.
Problematic bell.
But Casey left us a review on the podcast app they listen to on, and it says one of the out of the four SNL podcasts I currently listen to, these two guys definitely have the best chemistry out of all the hosts.
Boom!
Great job, guys.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for that, Casey. And
take that SNL after party.
They did not specifically say which SNL podcast they listened to.
Well, I just assumed.
Just that we are one of the four, and then they think we have the best chemistry.
Apologies, so. SNL at the party. I was drunk on power when they said that.
So we don't know. We don't. There are other SNL podcasts out there. We love them all.
Yes, we're all family.
We are all brothers.
Yes.
In the SNL podcasting world.
We're all brothers in arms.
We're about the love. Darren Jermaine Patterson.
Come on, people now. Shine on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now.
But,
At Darren Incredible.
Yeah. So, that is our show for this week.
That's it.
I should say one more thing. Like, last week we tried out a new closing tag line.
Oh yeah, do we have plugs or anything?
We'll do plugs in a minute. I just want to address this.
I don't know where you're going, man.
Okay.
You're going rogue on me.
Well, give me a minute.
You maverick.
Trust in me. Right. Trust in me for one goddamn minute, Darren Jermaine Patterson.
All right.
One goddamn. That's all I want from you. Just give me a minute.
Fine. Just go.
Give me a minute.
Go. Just go.
See what I put up with, people? He's drunk with power. He thinks just because he's like the funny black guy on the podcast.
Funny black handsome guy
okay,
on the podcast.
Okay, okay, okay.
Show some respect.
But anyway, yeah, I should give an apology to one of the other SNL podcasts because last week we tried out a new tagline that we were excited about. That's the show and we are out of here. We did not realize that our friends at that week in SNL were already using that as a closing tagline. So we're of course not going to use that anymore. And we're going to figure out something else to do.
Call off your lawyers.
Yes.
Right. Let's not bring the law into this.
Yeah. Yeah. Just because we don't want to be too close to what anybody else is
doing out there. We want to be our own thing.
And we haven't figured out the new tagline yet, but we'll figure out something and then we'll.
If you have an idea for a new tagline, tweet at us.
Yeah, tweet at us. He's at Darren Credible. I believe you mentioned that a time or two.
Oh, did I?
I'm at Trumbull Comic. We also have the show Twitter account at SNL Nerd Show.
Yes.
So tweet at us at any one of those locations.
Slide in our DMs.
Yeah, that's right. Just slide in there.
Slide
in there like you're a roach getting Slipping with Mikey Day's wife.
Oh, you're going that route.
Slide in there.
I was about to say Goo Goo Doll Slide, but I liked what you did.
Or like a pound puppy. Just,
ooh.
It's a very sexual show, this one. Very sexual
just,
show.
Just lube it up and slide on in. What? Oh. You were saying it first.
Yeah, but you introduced the lube into the equation. All right. So,
all right, so now you know a little bit about me.
Okay.
So, the next show, what are we talking about now?
Oh, we were talking about what a train wreck this show is at the end.
Oh, dear. Hi, Frank.
If this is why we need a closing line, so
yeah.
we don't degenerate into chaos like this at the end of the show
anymore.
Please
give us a closing line.
So, is there anything else you wanted to plug before we sign off?
I don't know if you guys noticed, but I have a Twitter account. Mm. You can follow me there at Darren Credible, Twitter and Instagram. And if you're in Jersey, I'm doing shows. What am I doing? Oh, the 28th of February, I'll be at Paisano's in Rutherford hosting for Kevin Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And in March, I got a few shows. I'll be in Tarrytown, New York. And I'll be in D.C. on my birthday weekend doing
nice.
Some shows. Yeah, so if you're in the D.C. area, holler at your boy. And follow all that. Follow me and follow all the info about my shows on my website, Darren Credible. That's D-A-R-I-N Credible.
Okay. And I am, as always, at Trumbull Comic on Twitter. You can follow me on there and suggest stuff and get into fights with me about who the best Joker was, which is the conversation I had with Justin last week.
Do you have a stance on, or do you want to announce?
Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill.
Well, controversial.
Mark Hamill. It's always going to be Mark Hamill.
Okay. All right.
It's going to be. This week I tweeted that because Ben Affleck announced he was leaving the Batman role.
Yeah.
I would love to see Armie Hammer step in
or
John Hamm, and then we can have Mark Hamill as the Joker, and we can have an all ham Batman movie.
Ham it up.
I want us to ham it up.
Armie Hammer, soundtrack by MC Hammer.
Yes.
Hamilton soundtrack.
Yes.
Clips in there.
Yes. The whole movie will have a nice honey glaze to it.
Yes. It'll debut at the Hampton Inns.
Yes.
Hampton Inns.
It'll play exclusively at the Hampton Inns.
In the Hamptons.
I think this is a wonderful idea. I want to see this happen.
This is a moneymaker. And
Hollywood, I'm just giving you these ideas for free.
Yeah.
Giving them the ideas for free.
Get on in Hollywood. This is what the people want.
That's what you want. That's what you want.
Yeah, and I guess that's it. Should we talk about what we're going to do next weekend?
Or? Oh, yes. We didn't talk about our theme for the show because SNL's doing the skip week.
Right.
Darren came up with a cool theme. Why don't you tell us about it?
Next episode we're going to do our favorite SNL recurring characters.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a doozy. So we'll, like our other shows we've done on off weeks. I'll do my favorite top five. John will do his favorite top five. We'll do some in considerations.
Mm-hmm.
And just gab incessantly about them.
Weird tangents about our middle names and Max Headroom and whatever else occurs to us.
I can almost guarantee you that will exactly happen in that order.
Yes.
In that order.
Yes.
And that's the show.
Okay, that's the show. So we will see you next week for our favorite characters, and then the week after that for John Mulaney and Thomas Rhett.
Yep.
So, until then, take care of each other.
Yes. God bless.
Bye.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com. Thank you.